Teen Time. Round Town.
So we all know about Romeo and Juliet, but then there are 36 other plays that Shakespeare wrote. And then there are three guys, Austin, Matt, and Mick, who are performing them all in just over an hour and a half. Our new Teen Time Around Town reporter Ellie Davis went to find out more.
Lo, in the Orient, when the gracious light lifts up his burning head, each under eye doth homage to his new appearing sight, serving with looks his sacred majesty. Don't worry, I'm not here to bore you with long Shakespeare quotes. In fact, I'm going to tell you about three men who have come to Hong Kong and reckon they can tell you the stories of all 37 Shakespeare plays in just over an hour and a half. But how do they do it without those long speeches and that flowery poetry? Well, I'm going to go backstage at the Academy of Performing Arts in Wan Chai to find out.
Greetings, my lords. How art thou find Hong Kong, pray tell?
Is that Cantonese? What the hell are you talking about? I have no idea what that is. You don't talk like a person. Would you talk like a person?
If you keep talking like that, we're going to cast you in the show.
So tell me, for people that don't know what the Reduced Shakespeare Company is about, what is this?
The Reduced Shakespeare Company is a three-man comedy group that gets to the essence of whatever it is we're doing. We're doing all 37 of Shakespeare's plays and all 154 of his sonnets. The best part about our show is that if you like Shakespeare, you'll like our show because you'll appreciate it. But if you hate Shakespeare, you will love our show because we get through every single of his plays, including the boring ones, including the great ones, and get them all done in an evening. You'll never have to see another Shakespeare show again.
Do you reckon it's educational?
No. It's just funny. Yeah, no.
What if someone was saying to their parents, look, I'm just going to go out tonight, I've got an educational play, it's Shakespeare, is that going to be okay?
Yes, if this will help a parent spring for a ticket or get the young people out of the house for the night, absolutely. Then by all means, if we endorse this as an educational show, it's like Cliff Notes of Shakespeare.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I mean, they'll learn something. It might be of absolutely no value to an education, but...
If it's the show is both educational and fun, it's fudgecational.
Which is a technical term. Shakespeare used that.
Yes, I believe he coined that word as he coined so many others. He coined fudgecational. He coined, what's up?
That's right.
Do you get any negative response from people turning around and saying, hang on, though, seriously, Shakespeare is a British institution?
No, well, not about that.
No.
No, I mean,
we get a lot of negative response when people see me in tights.
Yeah, and our general hygiene, and the way we carry on. But no, the general response, I mean, across around the world is, universal, one of nausea, motion sickness, just migraine headaches. I think it's funny. We've successfully repackaged Shakespeare for the Brits and are selling it back to them in the same way that the Beatles took the blues and repackaged it back to Americans. That's what we're doing. We're the Beatles of Shakespeare.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that too grand?
Not at all.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
I've just been saying I'm in some theater company doing Shakespeare, but no, man, we are like the Beatles.
That's right. We're the Beatles of Shakespeare. I love that.
And here they are, the Beatles of Shakespeare, performing especially for RTHK Radio 3. This is called Othello's Rap.
Here's the story of a brother by the name of Othello. He liked white women and he liked green jello.
And a punk named Iago who made himself a menace because he didn't like Othello, the Moor of Venice.
Now Othello got married to Desdemona.
He took her for the wars and left her alone.
It was a Mona.
A Grona. He left her alone.
He didn't write a letter and he didn't telephone her.
Oh.
So you can catch all of that and more from the Reduced Shakespeare Company. They open tonight at the Hong Kong Academy of Performing Arts. For more details, check out their website, www.reducedshakespeare.com.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 145, Pasty White Giants. We just finished our first week of performing here at the Hong Kong Academy of the Performing Arts here in the Wan Chai District of Hong Kong. We did a bunch of interviews this week. You heard that the great piece that Ellie Davis recorded and produced there at the top, and you'll hear some outtakes from that interview in just a few minutes. But first, I turned on the microphone in the dressing room between shows last Saturday and asked wardrobe supervisor Liz Fitzpatrick, our office manager back in Sonoma, and stage manager here in Hong Kong, Ali Bostet, as well as Matt Rippey and Mick Orff, their impressions of Hong Kong. Liz Fitzpatrick, welcome back to the Rudyard Shakespeare Company. What are your impressions of Hong Kong?
I feel like a pasty white giant here in Hong Kong.
Which is my favorite book by Roald Dahl, The Pasty White Giant, the PWG.
Excellent, excellent.
Are you saying people are short here? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying people are small. I'm saying the bathroom sink is miniature in the hotel room. Yeah, I just feel huge because they all walk into me in the street all the time, and I assume that's because I'm taking up too much space, not because Asian people have space relation issues or something.
Well, although I think there is that. I think that's true in here in Hong Kong. I think one's personal space is kind of at a premium because it's so crowded, the streets are so crowded. I think I just had an issue just walking over here to the theater tonight. We're in the Wan Chai district, which I guess I've been told is sort of the seedy underbelly of Hong Kong. There's a lot of kind of strip clubs and working girls.
I believe it actually got that name because it's where everybody, yes, there's working girls and nudie bars and stuff like that, but it's also where everybody goes to have fun. Mm. And that's where the expression came from, everybody Wan Chai tonight.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's good. Well, a little bit of pop culture history there from Nicholas Orff. But yes, I think the woman who kind of was standing way too close to me and touching me at the crosswalk was actually a working girl. So as much as I would have liked to have been flattered, I wasn't.
Yeah, that's absolutely possible that was the case. I guess it used to be the red light district where we are now. So
right. Now we're very progressive. Ali, what are your impressions of Hong Kong? Do you have any?
I haven't stopped eating.
You love the Chinese food.
I love Chinese food. I like bao. I like pretty much any dim sum, dumpling sort of thing. Uh-huh. They're small and cute.
And like you.
And they're fun to eat.
My biggest impression, because we were here for like 5 or 6 days in 96, and the sun didn't come out at all that entire time. And the first weekend we were here was beautiful. Beautiful. You guys went up on a hill. You guys took the big tram and
we
saw the big
We took a tram
view.
Up to the top of the island. It was my birthday. It was loads of fun. It was a level one typhoon warning.
Oh.
When we went up.
And a level three when we came down.
That's right. They hoisted the level three.
They hoisted the level three. I guess it's a flag. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was really, really windy. And we have some really awful hair in the photos from the top. And you can see the harbor on the other side. It was really pretty.
The most unusual pizza I've ever seen in my life.
I had a pizza with, there wasn't a red sauce, it was mayonnaise on the crust, and the crust was like a cracker. Oh, there was cheese on it, but then the toppings, there was some seaweed, some zucchini, and scallops.
What about you, Matt Rippey? You live in London, and Hong Kong used to belong to England. What are your impressions?
Well, it is my first time here, and my impression so far this week has been one of pain and pleasure.
Yeah, you've had kind of a tough first week.
Extreme pleasure, because my goodness, they're taking great care of us, feeding us amazing food, unidentifiable dumb some things, and
again, you're talking about Mick, dumb what?
And dim sum. And yet, I guess on day one, I come down with a fever. I think I'm going to be quarantined. I lose my voice. And then the fever goes, and I get severe migraine with a disco explosion out the back end. And then the disco
explosion.
The disco explosion goes.
Burn, baby, burn. Disco explosion.
Burn, baby. And now all that's gone. And then what happens today? Rippy's feeling a little bit better, getting his voice back, getting cocky, out there giving it some. And he falls down the stairs, sprains his ankle, and now I'm limping around the stage. So it's yeah, pain and pleasure the way.
I just appreciate what you're doing to make me feel less old.
Good. Zimmer frame for you, crutches for me. Mick's going to be carrying us tonight.
On those broad Mick Orff shoulders. Mick, did you have any thoughts about Hong Kong? Did you find and you were good?
I like the food. I like everyone that we've met, you know, here at the theater and all that stuff. Yeah. And I look forward to. I found a poker room.
Yeah.
Found a couple of them. And I'm having a ball.
Hi, my name's Phil Whelan from RTHK Radio 3 in Hong Kong, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Now, I wish I had a camera, because before the Saturday night show of our first weekend, Liz is applying the dancing mermaid to Mick Orff's belly. Now, Mick plays the red role, the Reed Martin role, and at the end of the first act of the Shakespeare show traditionally ends with Reed swallowing fire, yes. Eating fire. Now, no other actor in the RSC does that, and different people do different things. So what do you do at the end of the first act to stall when Matt and I leave the stage?
Well, I was asked when doing this, when we realized that I couldn't eat fire or play the Lone Ranger on my Adam's apple.
That's true.
Or any of Reed's other fantastic skills, was what are your stupid human tricks? What can you do? Mm-hmm. And I can jiggle my eyeballs back and forth really fast, but the audience can't see that.
Right, right.
Sadly, I don't have many stupid human tricks or skills, mad skills, if you will. However, one skill that I do have, and I should be more ashamed of this skill, and yet I flaunt it now happily, is I can roll my belly. I can kind of move it.
Draw on it.
I'm terribly sorry. That's true. As I'm describing it, I'm starting to do it. I can roll my belly, probably because it's a little bit big of a belly.
But such control. It's not just flab. You know, there's...
When I'm sitting down, I can flip a quarter in it.
Wow.
No one wants to see that, though. But so anyway, so...
Sounds like a new video podcast.
So my third and final stupid human trick of the act, it's actually what we bring the lights out to now, is I lift up my shirt, and there happens to be a very well-drawn, by the way, Liz, mermaid on it, and I do my little belly dance.
And describe the mermaid that you're drawing there, Liz.
I would describe this mermaid as a mixed dream woman.
Really? His dream woman has a tail?
Okay.
And gills? Okay. What a pair of gills on there, by the way. I think this mermaid's gills get bigger and bigger, larger.
Okay, so it's the top half of mixed dream woman?
as Dominic Conti would call them, her chesticles?
Her big chesticles. Yes. Let me just clarify, everyone. My dream woman is back in Los Angeles right now.
She doesn't listen to this podcast, so nobody cares.
All right, but then number two choice is exactly the top half of what Liz is drawing here. She's got big knockers and red hair, and she can't talk. No, I'm just kidding. I just had to have the third thing in the series.
Come on in. Gloria, what's your last name?
Guy.
Yeah. did I pronounce that right? It's like the Three Stooges. Yeah. So say your name.
I'm Gloria Ngai.
And you are our company manager for our here. You work for ABA Productions. You brought us here to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So what are you, we've heard the RSC impressions of Hong Kong. What have been your impressions of the RSC? Are we what you expected?
Funny and cute and exciting. Oh, yeah.
All right. What about Matt and Austin, though? I mean, you're only mentioning me at this point.
I was funny. Matt is cute, and you're the exciting one. Because we never know what's going to happen with you, I think.
Wow, and you know, we didn't warn her about this interview, so she didn't have time to prepare those answers. Well done.
That's right. Well done.
Thank you.
But had you seen us before? Why did you guys decide to? Do you know why?
I don't, but I think Matthew do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but you hadn't seen us before.
No.
Did you know
I
what
heard
to?
That. And someone said that they're really funny. So all right, but it's really funny.
Oh, good. All right, that's good. So we've made a good impression on Gloria. Yeah. All right, that's a good start.
So there's truth in our advertising.
Slightly.
Okay, well, how about you? I mean, you've been here before, but what are your impressions?
I have been here before. You know, because the sun was not out the last time, and the last time I was here, it was like 5 days. Dee was here. She was pregnant and had food poisoning. So basically, that was my 5 days of making sure she was okay and doing shows. So I didn't really see much. And also, my memory is that the sun never came out. So I don't. Now we're here for 2 weeks, and I'm really having a much better time this time.
And was that back during the reign of British control?
Yeah, with 96.
Right.
96, before the changeover, the handover, excuse me, in 97, 98, 99, whatever it was.
So do you feel any differences, or does it feel like the same place culturally?
Culturally, it feels exactly the same. In fact, it feels more Western than I expected it to be. More, not only British, but you know, there's a lot of Americans and Australians and Kiwis and whatnot. But because we're here, we've got nice digs. The theater's close. We're here for 2 weeks. It gives us a lot more opportunity to get around and see the city, which is really fun. And we're getting great crowds, so that's all good. You know, one thing I did notice though is how freaking humid it is. Mm. It's so humid. Now I feel here in Hong Kong, and I just think I'm being a big baby because it's actually kind of keeping me indoors a little bit. But it's really powerful. But then your friend was telling us, I mean, there's also a cultural thing here. There are some people on the streets wearing these masks, face masks, like surgical masks, because like they're in surgery. Maybe they're all doctors.
You took my joke.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. But it's not just because they're sick or they think they might get sick, but you have a friend who was saying.
Yeah, my friend Charlie from London, who lives here now, said that a lot of people are wearing the masks because the pollution is so bad in this town that it's more of a filter. Yeah. There are apparently heavy metals in the air.
Oh,
I know, Metallica, Whitesnake. Apparently it's just, starting to do it in London as well. If you ride your bike a lot into town, people are wearing masks, and it's really just to filter out the ookiness.
All right, well, maybe that makes me quite a little bit less of a baby than I thought I was being.
Well,
maybe
you are a big baby, but it makes you a logical thinking big baby.
There are reasons for me to be a baby, yes.
My only comment about the humidity is that my hair is huge here.
That's why you are the what? The pasty, huge-haired giant?
Yes, the pasty, white, huge-haired giant. That's me.
Just remember,
the higher the hair, the closer to Buddha.
Oh. That's what they say. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I'm only glad that nobody opted to do bad impressions of Cantonese. Send us your impressions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Just click on forum. You can also find us at facebook.com, myspace.com/reducedshakespeare. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, Emperor for Life Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Willie's Wiley Wenches, our 1600th follower on Twitter. The Wenches are an all-female Shakespeare troupe based in Texas whose motto is Shakespeare is better with boobs. I think we've already proved that here in the Reduced Shakespeare Company, but apparently we're not the kind of boobs they're talking about. Check out their website at willieswileywenches.net. Special thanks to Phil Whelan at RTHK Radio in Hong Kong and to Ellie Davis for that great piece she produced for RTHK's Teen Time. I'll leave you with some outtakes from that session. Thanks again to Ellie for those. And next week, there'll be more from us and quite possibly more from our Hong Kong audiences as well. Finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 145 435ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
He coined that word as he coined so many others. He coined educational. He coined what's up.
That's right.
Did he actually?
He did actually coin many words. He did not actually coin what's up.
Just for clarification.
Just for clarification.
Don't want to do a
bit of an audio footnote there.
Don't want to mislead our listeners.
You make it sound as if your listeners are very, very stupid. Are they?
Not at all.
They're not. They're very bright. They're very bright people who listen to Radio 3.
I just want to warn the listeners. She nodded her head while she said not at all.
Don't say that.
This all seems like quite a crazy idea. Let's go back to the history. Okay. Of the, I want to say RSC, but for a Brit, that's the Royal Shakespeare Company.
I'm sorry, who? The what?
The Royal Shakespeare Company.
Somebody has stolen our initials?
Oh,
what?
Who is? I'm not familiar with them. Who are the Royal Shakespeare Company?
A bunch of English actors, you know, whatever. But, given some money by the government, the Queen and the King. Is there a King or a Queen?
There's a Queen.
There's a Prince who's a Queen, a bit of a Queen, right? I forget which one that is. Andrew, I think. Doesn't matter. No, so... really, there's a company that has stolen our initials. We're an American company. You know, we will sue. We are very litigious. We will sue anybody. What was the question?
In our next show, our seventh stage show that we're writing now, which will premiere in the autumn of 2010, will be The Complete World of Sports Abridged. Every sport ever played on any continent, anywhere, will be on our stage.
And the history of that as well?
Sure. Whew. Could happen. We're writing it now. I'll let you know.
You know, why didn't we do the sports show like 10 shows ago when we were all younger? What were we thinking?
I'm sorry. I've got some bad news. You're fired. We're getting younger actors.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.